Chapter 26. Hebe. To conceive Hephaestus, she snuck away to lay with a mortal man. To conceive Ares, she struck a bargain with Artemis, the goddess of childbirth. But this time, when Hera presses a hand to her lower stomach and lets out a small breath of surprise, she has done neither. Yet, a child grows within her. Zeus pins her to the bed by her throat, eyes wild with rage, and Hera doesn't flinch. "Have you not learned your lesson?" he hisses. She pries his fingers off her so she has enough air to speak, and says, "The child is yours, dear husband. I've lain with no other." He stills, searching her face for deceit. He knows her, and he knows when she's lying.
How?
I don't know, she answers, and wonders how long it will take for the bruises on her throat to heal this time. But the child is ours. Her eyes narrow, and she flips them, pressing the weight of her power on top of Zeus, so he has to struggle to catch his breath. Beloved husband of mine, if you do to this child what you did to my first two, I will kill you. I don't care what it costs me. Understand? She will not see another of her children forced into a cursed role and made a god of terrible things. She'll protect this child, no matter the cost.
Do as you wish, he answers,
and disappears from underneath her. Hera goes to Artemis, but tells no one else. Artemis doesn't like her, maybe even hates her some days, but would never allow her hatred to get in the way of protecting a child. So she helps the queen of the gods through her pregnancy. It's hard on Hera. She grows thin and weak, but refuses to let anyone see her, still so afraid of losing this child, of having everyone know she conceived a child and lost it. She's the goddess of motherhood, and if she fails to bring this child into the world, she worries what people will say of her. Zeus doesn't spend much time on Olympus anymore, and Hera is glad of it. She avoids Hestia and Hermes, avoids everyone until Artemis barges in and says, exasperated,
"Your son is worried sick. Won't you see him? He thinks you're dying."
She looks down at herself, large protruding belly and two thin limbs, and says,
"Maybe I am."
"You're not dying," Artemis says, softening. "It is a difficult pregnancy, yes, but it doesn't take more than you're willing to give. You and the child will be fine."
Hera wants to believe her, but neither of her sons birthed easily, and she can't help but think this child will be so much worse. Ares can't track down his father. His mother is hidden away on Mount Olympus, and he wants to scream.
"What if he's hurting her?"
he asks, pacing in his brother's workshop. The pleas of soldiers ring in his ears, and usually he can't ignore them, unless he's in the underworld. But now it's almost easy to push them to the back of his mind. His worshippers will have to wait. Hephaestus doesn't look up from his forge, but his shoulders are raised from tension that doesn't come from beating metal into shape.
"He wouldn't. What father wouldn't do is a very short list," he says. "Mom never avoids me. Never."
"Good for you,"
Hephaestus snaps, and Ares steps away from him. He's not a child anymore. He's the god of war. He's Hades' lover, Hephaestus's brother, and the friend to many gods. But first he was a son, and Hera's love was the first he knew. Hephaestus takes a deep breath, folding his anger back into himself and running a hand down his face. Ares wonders if this was a mistake, if he should find Aphrodite or Eros and make his retreat before he makes anything worse.
His brother turns and faces him. I'm sorry. I know you're worried about your mother. Our mother, he wants to say, but won't. He's pushed his brother far enough today. He hesitates, because he doesn't want Hephaestus to get mad at him again. Then walks over and cups his brother's face in his hands. He kisses both his cheeks, tries to think of something to say that doesn't betray either Hera or his brother, and fails. He slips away in the next moment, determined to find their mother even if she doesn't want to be found. He hasn't been on Mount Olympus more than a few minutes when Artemis appears at his side, looping her arm through his. She's this way, she says, tugging him in the opposite direction. She's not hurt, he asks, the tight knot of worry at the base of his chest already beginning to loosen. My father didn't. He is to blame for her current condition, she says, dry. But she's not hurt. He doesn't understand until he's pulled through a doorway that isn't usually there and deposited in a room that doesn't belong to his parents, and sees Hera lying there. Mom, he cries, rushing over to her. She's pale and thin except for the roundness of her stomach. I'm fine. You didn't need to worry, she admonishes, and he sits on the bed beside her. He looks to Artemis for confirmation, because he doesn't quite trust his mother's assessment of her own health. She smiles at him, wide and lopsided, and his shoulders slump in relief. He holds Hera's hand and is comforted by the strength of her grip. Why didn't you tell me? She opens her mouth to answer, but then her face contorts in pain, and Artemis is kneeling between Hera's legs. It's time. He almost leaves, but Hera doesn't release her grip on his hand, and he doesn't really want to go anyway. His father should be here, but he isn't, so Ares will have to do. There's too much blood, and Hera's screams echo around them. But Artemis is steady and sure, and both mother and child survive the birth. Artemis places the babe in the crook of his arm as she cleans up, and he looks down at her. She's small and squalling, and he loves her. She's his little sister. Hera is exhausted, and he knows she fell asleep after giving birth to him, but has never been able to find the courage to ask about Hephaestus. Hera's eyelids are sliding shut when he carefully places his sister on his mother's chest. She's beautiful, he whispers. Her eyes open long enough for her to smile. You name her. She yawns, and then she's asleep, tired out by bringing her daughter into the world. Ares picks up the baby again, and by the time he turns to Artemis, she's already shaking her head. Don't worry, she's fine, just tired. Pregnancy has always been hard on her. Give her time to recover. She'll be back to her charming self by tomorrow. Once Hera is cleaned and made comfortable in bed, Artemis leaves, trusting mother and child to the god of war. Ares sits next to Hera, holding the baby, and is content to wait. I think we'll call you Hebe, he whispers. He hopes Hephaestus likes their new sister. Hera is a goddess and has regained all her lost strength by the time she awakens. She carries Hebe on her hip through Olympus, pride in her eyes at the parade of gods that come to make their respect to their queen's daughter. Zeus has many children, but Hera only has three. And they're important. Hephaestus hates her, as he should, but her blood in his veins has protected him against all manner of horrible things, most of which she hopes he'll never know the truth about. Her husband softens when she places their daughter in his arms, but she is wary this time, when she was not with Ares. Zeus loved their son, and so she thought she did not need to worry too much,
did not think he would harm him. But she had forgotten that even his kindness scars. She will not forget this time. Hebe grows up. Like her brothers, Hebe has Hera's eyes, but she is clearly Zeus's child. She, like Ares, shares his copper-red skin and thick black hair. Ares keeps his hair long, down to his hips, and in a thick braid when he's on the battlefield. Hebe keeps hers cut short, in a sharp line that ends right above her chin. She yearns to leave Mount Olympus, but Hera forbids it, and there are times when gods will cross her, when they will sneak and twist and lie to her, but none are so foolish as to interfere with her daughter. One day, when she's old enough, when she's powerful enough, Hera will let her go, but not yet. Hera loves her daughter too much to lose her like she lost her sons. At first, Hebe doesn't mind her life. She has an adoring mother, a father who shines with warmth, a brother who visits her whenever he can, who always has a smile and kind word for her, no matter the horrors he's seen or the exhaustion seeping into his bones. She's barely more than a child, a gangly, almost woman, when Zeus takes her to the top of Olympus to teach her how to throw lightning bolts. It doesn't go well. She can hold them, but just barely, and her skin comes away blistered and burned. Even then, they're too heavy for her to throw properly, and no matter how hard she tries, they shatter uselessly at the base of the mountain. She keeps trying until Zeus takes the lightning from her bleeding hands and gently says,
"I think that's enough."
If he had disappointment in his eyes, that would at least be something she could rage against. But instead, her father's eyes shine with pity. That's so much worse. She flees and hides in her room, refusing to come out. Eventually, Ares comes for her, still sweat-soaked from battle, holding a spear stained red with mortal blood.
"Mom is worried about you,"
he says, appearing beside her inside her room. Hera could have done the same, but hadn't, and Hebe can't explain why her mother's respect grates at her. It shouldn't. "Did you struggle?" she asks. "When father taught you to throw lightning bolts, did you burn? Did they weaken your arms until you could barely lift them?" Ares frowns and leans against his spear, exhaustion making him look old.
"No, I've always been able to wield them."
Frustrated, tears well in her eyes, and she hurries to wipe them away before they can fall.
"Hebe," he says soft, "it's okay."
"No, it's not," she stands, hands clenched into fists. "What goddess am I? I've never even left this mountain, and it's strangling me. It's, Mama won't let me grow. I'm the daughter of Zeus, yet I can't wield his lightning. I'm the daughter of the king and queen of the gods, yet I'm the worst of us." Tears spill down her cheeks, and she cannot stop them. "I'm an embarrassment. Maybe that's the real reason Mama won't let me leave." Ares watches her, silent and thoughtful.
"Our mother loves you. She's trying to protect you. Come on." He holds out his hand. "I'm going to take you to see our brother."
"We have many brothers," she says, scrubbing at her cheeks.
"We only have one brother bound to us by Hera's blood," he answers.
The surprise is enough that she stops crying.
"Hephaestus? Does he want to see me? I thought he didn't like me. He's never visited, even though he has a throne here." "He doesn't like Olympus," Ares says. "But I think he might like you."
Hebe hesitates, then takes her brother's hand. Hephaestus had not planned on hating his sister,
Not like he'd planned on hating Ares. But he can't help the angry curl of jealousy in his chest. His sister is coveted and protected on the very mountain he was callously thrown from, and it grates on him. He tells himself that he doesn't care, that it doesn't matter, but he's not very good at lying to himself. It would be easier if Hera was like Zeus, if she didn't care for her children, if her apathy was shared equally among all the children of her womb. But it's not. Her love for Ares and Hebe burns bright enough to blind. It's him alone who managed to earn her disdain when he was only minutes old. When Ares shows up in his workshop, a girl with their eyes at his side, Hephaestus instantly knows who she is. He wonders if it would be rude to hide. "I know you're here," Ares calls out disapprovingly, like he can hear his thoughts. "Come out. There's someone I want you to meet." Hephaestus sighs but steps forward, looking at this slip of a girl who shines like only a goddess born of Hera could.
"Hello."
She looks at him like he's a puzzle piece. He can't help but approve. Hebe knows that Hera knows about the trips she takes with Ares to visit Hephaestus. There's no way she can't know. But she pretends she doesn't, allows Hebe some of the freedom she's so desperately craving. There's a space in the volcano carved out just for her, where she bends and twists metal with her bare hands as if it's clay. She can't handle the heat of Zeus's lightning bolts without burning, but molten metal is cool compared to that. She doesn't excel at it, but over the years she gets better, manages to make beautiful things with nothing more than hot metal in her hands. Hera proudly wears a small golden rose in her hair, one of the first beautiful things Hebe ever made. Hephaestus had made the delicate veins in the leaves. Hebe hadn't told Hera that, but she thinks she knows. There are so many things her mother pretends not to know that sometimes it's hard for Hebe to keep track. Many things have changed, but some things are still the same. She's not a child anymore. She's grown into a powerful young woman with sparks of magic dancing along her fingertips. But still, she has no domain, no followers, no place in the heavens to claim as her own. She knows what happened to Ares, what Hera is trying to protect her from by not allowing her to truly become a goddess of the pantheon. But if she ever wants to be more than this, more than Hera and Zeus's daughter or Ares and Hephaestus's sister, then she needs to be a goddess of something. She spends long hours in her brother's volcano, keeping the forge alight as she presses every ounce of magic she has into molten gold, as she shapes the thick, sparkling metal into her hands. When she's done, she has a heavy golden apple, nearly dripping in her magic. Magic made to incite conflict and hostility even within the hearts of the gods. Her mother wants things to stay as they are, wants Hebe to stay as she is, and resists anything that goes against that. Hebe is not so foolish as to openly stand against her mother. She is not Cori, who hated her mother and the cage she lived in. Hebe hates her cage. She loves her mother. So she'll have to carve out a dominion for herself in a way that's not so direct, that's just as powerful but more subtle. At the wedding of Peleus and Thetis, she tosses her golden apple into the center of the party. Inscribed on it is, "To the fairest." To her parents and brothers, she will always be Hebe. But to the rest of the world, she will be Eris, goddess of discord and strife.